So welcome everybody to the Rare Business Growth podcast. This is one of the first that we hope to be doing. I'd like to welcome today Grant Leboeuf.
Leboeuf or Leboeuf, I'm not precious about it.
Leboeuf, sorry. So Grant, on that note, tell us a bit about yourselves, your background, where you've come from, and your background. What is it you do?
Yeah, so I've got a background in sales and marketing. I ran some very large sales teams for PLC, did a lot of sales training, worked in marketing departments. Also, my background, I studied cognitive behavior. And I think it was the merging of three different things. It was my cognitive behavioral background. So I was being asked to do things in marketing departments and sales departments, which just didn't sit right with a lot of, last 20 years, there's been a lot of, you know, new understanding about how human beings tick and what makes them work. And some of the sort of traditional sales approaches just didn't work with what I'd learned in cognitive behavior. So it sat a bit uncomfortably. And then I think very excitingly, it was the emergence of the web back in the early 90s as well, which started to change customer behavior very slowly. But it started to change customer behavior. And it was the merging of those three things that kind of got me thinking and led to me kind of developing my own theories, working as a consultant, putting them into practice. And that led to my first book, which was Sales Therapy, and running a successful direct marketing company, which I sold back in 2008. Now I run a marketing consultancy, and I write and I speak.
Fantastic. And so Sales Therapy was the first book, is that right?
That's right. Sales Therapy was the first book. Came out at the end of 2007.
Is it just me, or does that imply that it's therapy for sales because you feel that sales was sick and you're trying to sort of make it better?
Yeah, it was actually. It's really it was like a double entendre I was playing. It was kind of sales therapy because I didn't meet many people that were that comfortable with selling. I mean, you got the out and out salespeople that said they enjoyed it, although they only enjoyed aspects of it, really, if they're truth be known.
Right.
And I didn't know any customers that ever enjoyed being sold to. And I just thought it was kind of therapy for everybody, therapy for the customers, therapy for the salespeople, maybe therapy for the management teams that had to manage these people as well. So it was kind of a play on words. Yeah, exactly right.
Excellent. And the new one, which just came out the 3rd of January, is that right?
Yeah, really exciting. So Sticky Marketing, which is the new book, came out on the 3rd of January. So just which was a bizarre date to come out because it's bank holiday, obviously, in the UK. But it came out on the 3rd of January. But really, really pleased, doing really well. We're the number one sales and marketing book at the moment on Amazon. We're number 5 in the business chart. So someone's liking it. So that's good.
Fantastic. And so who's it aimed at? So what's it all about? I mean, Sticky Marketing, and I know in the book that I wrote and came out in October, there's a part of it where I do talk about making your sort of a customer experience sort of sticky, as it were.
Yeah.
And so the idea of making something sticky, an experience sort of sticky, for me, I've been familiar with that expression since back in the .com days when people were talking about making your website sticky.
Yeah, exactly right.
Is it that sort of thing?
Yeah, it is. I mean, sticky marketing is really aimed at, this is a terrible answer for a marketer, I think, but it's really aimed at everybody. It's really aimed at anybody that has to engage with a customer base and market themselves, promote themselves in some way. So really, for anybody from an owner manager of a one person business, mm-hmm. a home office business, right through to the marketing director at a huge PLC. I think the principles involved in the book are applicable to everybody. Lots of different examples in there that different people will be able to relate to. And I also think it's very, very important, actually, that directors of businesses and CEOs, managing directors who aren't directly involved with the marketing, also read the book if they don't read my book, another book, have a really good understanding of the fundamental principles of marketing today and how it plays out. Because marketing today, you know, marketing years ago was very tactical. Yeah. You know, you'd have a product or service and you'd throw it at the marketing department if you're a business of a certain size and sort of get them to do it. And they'd have a budget and they might do some direct mails, and if they were a big enough company, they might employ an advertising agency to come up with something, you know, attractive or whatever. But basically, it was a very tactical thing, marketing. Marketing today is very strategic. It has to be embedded into the very ethos of the business, mm-hmm. In order to make it work. And therefore, I think CEOs and other directors, even from the finance director, people just have to have a fundamental understanding of marketing the same way as they have a fundamental understanding of any business.
Yeah.
And the idea of sticky itself, sticky marketing, I think, was first used about websites, and it was my understanding, as you've alluded to. I wanted to widen that out. I mean, I did play with the idea of attraction marketing, which I think is the same thing, but I think sticky kind of was a bit more onomatopoeic in a way. It just said what it is, didn't it? You know, kind of it paints a picture. So I preferred to use that, but I would very much widen it out from sticky marketing, which was about websites, which was getting people to come back to your website, to widening it out to actually sticky marketing, getting people to want to engage and come back to your organization, your business as a whole, not just your website.
I understand the principle. If I was to say to you, some of our listeners are, they're like, it also, there seems to be this big sort of belief that's going around right now that everybody who's either reading blogs or listening to podcasts or watching videos and things, we all suffer from a bit of an attention deficit disorder sort of thing. So everybody wants just the quick tips straight out of the hat.
Yeah.
If I was to say to you, what would be, can you give me sort of three top tips that from the book and that can then entice people to go off and to buy your book, and then we can shamelessly plug your book even more at the end.
Yeah, thank you for that. I appreciate it. Okay. The kind of top tips that I would give people. The first tip is it's not about you; it's about the customer. I think too many people are very, it's a mistake people make, and it's not a deliberate one. You know, everybody thinks they're customer focused, because if you said to anybody running a business, are you customer focused? I mean, it'd always be crazy to say, no, I'm not. I don't care about my customers. I don't think you'd ever hear anybody, certainly on the record, say that. And I think most people believe it. They really do believe they're customer focused, but actually they're not. And even you take something like doing a YouTube video, which I think everybody should do. You know, YouTube, I think, gets 2 billion hits a day. Why wouldn't you be on it? But if doing a YouTube video, so many people that do a YouTube video, and it would be about themselves. It'd be about, this is what my company does. This is what we can offer you, the customer. And it's really about them. I mean, they might be telling the customer what they can offer, but it's really about them. So my first tip is, it's not about you. It's about the customer. The thing about marketing is there has to be value in it for the customer. There's that very famous, I actually say this in the book, there's a very famous quote from JFK in his inauguration address. The whole world knows it's probably the most famous White House address ever. He said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country.
Yes.
And I actually have taken that quote and I've used it. I mean, I've obviously quoted JFK as well. And I say, don't ask what your marketing can do for you, which is what everybody does. You know, I want leads, I want business, I want this, I want that. Let's bombard them with a direct mail, hit them with some telemarketing, do this really great advert. Don't ask what your marketing can do for you. Ask what it can do for your customer.
Mm-hmm.
If you can produce marketing that provides value for your customer, hints, tips, ideas, ways of doing things, pitfalls, things they should be concerned of, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, then by providing value for your customer, it's engaging. They want more. They want to come back. You build credibility. You build trust with that customer. And then when they are ready to buy, and that could be after an hour, it could be after 3 years, but when they're ready to buy, you'll be front of mind. You'll be one of the places that they will come to see if you can solve their issues, if they can purchase from you. I always say to people, it doesn't guarantee you the business, but it does guarantee you a seat at the table. You can't ask more from your marketing than that, just to make sure that when someone's ready to buy, you get a chance to kind of quote or be there or offer something.
Sure.
So that would be my first real top tip for people. Think about where the value is in every communication you do, be it a podcast like this today, or be it a blog entry, or be it a tweet, or be it whatever it is going to be. Where's the value for the other person? It's not about you. Where's the value for the other person? And the second really big tip, I know you asked for three, but I think I'm going to just give two if that's okay.
That's fine. Leaving us hanging.
The second big tip, which I think is new. I think most people have missed this. The point today is not that we've got all these vehicles so we can bombard our customer in a million different ways. It's not that we can tweet the hell out of them. We can write a load of messages on Facebook, bombard them in their emails, hit them on YouTube and hit these. It's not about us shouting about ourselves using lots of other channels to shout. What it is today is that our customers or our potential customers have access to us anytime they want and at the time of their choosing. And when I say access to us, I don't mean your company or my company per se, but if they are looking for somebody to help them with their customer service, you're somebody that perhaps can do that for them. They may go on Google and look at customer service experts. They may go on Twitter and have a look what people are saying. They may go on YouTube and look what top tips and videos there are. But it gives people the opportunity to access that information at a time of their choosing. And the importance of that, which I think most people have missed in my experience of going around, you know, the world talking to people about this kind of stuff, is that that means context is vital. We used to be told as marketers to segment our market always by demography. So, you know, is it a male or female audience, a young or old audience? You know, are there particular ethnic minorities that we're targeting? Certain areas of the country, rich areas, poor areas, whatever. We were told to always, you know, is it accountants, is it solicitors if we're in business? We're always told to segment by demography. But today what I say to people is you have to segment by context. And what that I mean is you have to understand when you're supplying a product or service, what's the context of the purchase? What's happening in their lives that means that they would go and look for that service? So if you're an accountant, is it someone that's starting a new business and they need a new accountant? Is it the end of the tax return? Is it the end of their financial year? Has their accountant just let them down? What event? Because if you think about it, every purchase is triggered by an event.
Uh-huh.
What event? What is the context which drives them to go onto Google and do a search, to go onto YouTube and have a look, to ask their mates, whatever they're going to do to find new suppliers? And if you understand the event, then you can create content and value, which goes back to my first point, around some of those events. You know, how do you look for a new accountant if you're a new business? Why don't you do a YouTube video about that? You know, what are the top tips for making sure your tax return's correct? Whatever it is. So you can do nice content around the context, which is also important, but also you can make sure that you're relevant to that context. Because I go on people's websites, for example, and almost all people's websites are driven by product and service. We offer this, this, this. We're an accountant. We do tax returns. We do end of year. We do file reports. We do X, Y, and Z.
Pick on accountants too much, obviously.
Yeah, not wanting to pick on accountants. But we never get a context.
Sure.
There's never a context. Have you just done this? Have you just done that? And I think that's applicable to all businesses across the board.
Mm.
And if you want to talk about being sticky, online or offline, it doesn't matter which.
Sure.
I think by having a context, because you're then talking about events that are relevant in people's lives at that moment. And it resonates.
And it does come back to the point that you made earlier, is actually it's not about you, it's about them.
100%. And talking about context, exactly, makes you focus on the customer, because you're forced to focus on what's happening in their circumstances at that moment. And I implore anybody listening to this today, go back and look at your website. And yes, you can list your products and your services, whatever they are. That's fine. I'm not saying you don't do that. But where's the context? Where, you know, give people a context. Give people because then that's them. Oh, are you just moving house? Have you just started a new business? Are you doing this? Give them the context, because that's what's really driven them to your site in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. I mean, I think do you think then there's a bit of a there's a general thing that we probably need to get away from thinking about? It's when you go to all these events, or you meet somebody at a dinner party or a barbecue or kind of wherever it might be, and somebody says, what do you do? And maybe that's one of the things that we need to get away from, is being defined by what we think we do, as it were, and being very functional and product mm-hmm. and service sort of driven, to being sort of who do we help, or who do we what problems do we solve, or whatever, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I agree with that. I agree. I mean, I suppose, you know, it's easy when you go to a party or something. Obviously, you know, what do you do? I'm a gardener, or what do you do? I do this, or I do that, or I'm this, or I'm that person. Because I suppose it's how we define labels, and everybody wants an answer straight. Like you alluded to earlier, I suppose everybody wants an answer straight away.
Yes.
But I do think it's very helpful. I think yes, internally, when you're thinking about your offering to your customer base, whoever your potential clients are. I think, yes, I don't think it helps you to think in terms of I'm a gardener, or I'm an accountant, I'm a recruitment agent, I'm a estate agent, whatever it is that you do. I don't think that's very helpful. I think you do have to look at your product or service in terms of what are the issues my customers or potential customers are going to have, which would let them look for me in the first place.
Yes.
What are those issues that would arise? What are the problems I actually solve for people? Because actually every sale solves a problem. And the second thing is to understand, and what is the context that surrounds that issue?
Yes.
Because the issue will have a context as well.
Absolutely. It reminds me of the there's a story, I don't know if you've heard the story about the guy that goes into the the Mason's Yard and speak still to these three Masons?
No, I don't think I do.
Okay. Well, there's this guy who walks into this Mason's Yard and he sees these three Masons and he walks up to the first one and he says, "So what do you do?" And he said, "I take this big clod hammer and this chisel and I turn big rocks into sort of shaping little rocks." And he says, "Well, that's interesting. That's what I do. That's what I'm good at." And he goes, "Well, that's fine." He says, "Okay." And he goes to the second guy and he says, "What do you do?" He says, "Well, I'm a highly skilled, highly trained craftsman and I create beautiful shaping pieces of sort of rock to order." And he's going, "Well, that's brilliant. That's fine. Thank you for that." And then he goes to the next guy and he says, "So what do you do?" He said, "I build cathedrals."
Right.
And I think that sort of, for me, that sort of, it's that type of mentality in a way. Yeah. It's not about what you do. It's about where you fit in the, if you like, the process and the context.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with that.
I love that story.
That's a good story. It's a good story.
If I see you on the TV, your morning TV, and you share that story, I'll be like, I'll glow warmly on the inside. And I'm like,
I'd always credit you, Adrian.
Thank you, Grant. So in the interest of time and to keep sort of moving on, and we'll come back to the book at the end. You know, I also think that we're in an interesting time right now. We've been in a recession. We seem to be coming out of it, but I don't think we're out of the woods yet. I mean, and I think there's some big challenges still around for a lot of businesses, particularly the businesses that are not sitting at the top of the tree. What do you think and also that the fact that the power of the customer and their voice and things is rising. I mean, what's your feelings on that? What do you think sort of businesses should be doing and focusing on in this current climate?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question. So I think there's a couple of things I would say. I would say that I think for everybody at the moment, there's a lot of opportunity. I know, you know, there's lots of talk of doom and gloom and cuts and this and everything else. And I'm not denigrating that. And I'm not saying that there aren't people out there finding it hard. And there are certainly industry sectors that are, of course. But I think actually there's a lot of opportunity because I think it alludes to the fact because times are changing, because we've got all this new technology. Because we've got all these new ways of engaging with our customer base and our customer base engaging with us, I think that there aren't many companies doing it very well. Mm-hmm. And actually, and that's not a criticism, actually, it may sound like one, but what I mean is we're all learning. I think everybody's learning, you know, even the so-called experts are learning because it's all so new.
Yes.
And therefore, the market's ripe for people to find new creative innovations, ways of doing things, that haven't been done before, ways of addressing things that, and when I say they, and giving the opportunity to clean up, it's not the nicest phrase, but you understand what I mean. It gives them business opportunities to do well in marketplaces that have seemingly very competitive or very commoditized or whatever, just by coming up with a new channel, a new way of addressing the issue, a new way of solving that problem or making life a bit easier for the customer base. And I think technology and the speed of change, obviously, it's very challenging for all businesses, but at the same time presents lots and lots of opportunities. In terms of what I think companies should be doing right now, I don't think this is a recession point, but I think it plays out in this market as well. So I think companies have to try and create clear blue water between themselves and others.
Yeah.
You know, if I think once you're lumped in, oh, they're just like everybody else. Then you do become all about price and you do end up kind of killing yourself and your business to try and get the business in. And I think there's a lot of people that end up in those kind of games. So it's creating the value around what you do and the clear blue water, to make you attractive to a certain audience. And I think that means sometimes just understanding, the pond you swim in. I say to people, you know, in today's environment where customers really have to be coming to you, you have to become attractive or sticky, as I like to call it.
Yeah.
You have to become attractive. Customers have to come to you. If you're a small fish in a big pond, customers are unlikely to come to you because they won't even know you exist. We don't know, you know, you don't spot a small fish in a big pond.
Yes.
But if you're a big fish in a small pond, you're much more likely to get noticed. And I think what a lot of companies sort of miss out on is finding that pond. And being the big fish in it, because people get very nervous sometimes about kind of just trying to appeal to a niche audience. And And sometimes I'll say to them, well, hold on a minute, you know, is there enough of that audience in your geographical location, in the places that you can serve? I mean, you don't necessarily have to have a geographically based business, but in the people that you can serve, is there enough of an audience to sustain the size of business that you require? And actually, when people look at it that way, there normally is.
Yes.
But the bigger the fish you are in the smaller pond, you just become more attractive, and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Sure.
And I think the biggest thing that all businesses miss, or most businesses miss, which I'm not quite sure why, because it isn't rocket science really, and here's the killer one. If you're running your own business, you get to pick the pond.
Mm-hmm.
No one picks it for you. You pick the pond. What people tend to do is they look at a market and go, oh, there's four ponds there. I'll go in that one. What they never do is, actually, I'll dig my own one. And as I said to people, you know, you can always win a game where you choose the rules. I could beat Manchester United at football if I was allowed to pick the rules, because my first rule would be only Grant Leboff can score. So, you know, if you're allowed to set the rules of the game, you can always win the game. The problem is if you play by other people's rules, it's then very difficult. I mean, obviously, I'd get killed if I tried to play Manchester United football by the normal rules. So what I'm trying to say is that when you're digging that, when you're creating your own pond, you set the rules. You set the parameters of that, the issues that pond's going to address, the marketplace you're looking to address. You can become very attractive to perhaps a very small group of people, but enough to sustain a very good business.
Sure.
And I think that's the big thing. How do you get competitive advantage? And I think it doesn't matter whether it's a recessionary environment or a booming one. I think people perhaps feel, you know, think about it less in a boom because there's enough business for everybody. But I think the principles sound whatever.
I think you're absolutely right. I think it's more important than ever now is to, you know, to do things differently, to make yourself sort of stand out, as you rightly say, sort of pick your pond, you know, define your own rules. You know, define yourself and your, you know, your brand, what your company stands for. And one of the things I keep banging on about is look after what you've got, take care of what you've got, because that's the thing that's going to keep the lights on and keep your business kind of growing, you know, going and growing over the course of the next months. And I mean, yeah. I'm a big advocate of, you know, we have this idea where it's called the leaky bucket syndrome or the hole in my bucket syndrome.
Yeah.
Whereas traditionally marketing is all about, well, let's put more water in the bucket. And I'm saying, well, hang on, why don't we fix the leaks in the bucket first?
Yeah.
Because it'll just build a sustainable platform for growth.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think it's about doing both. I think you're right.
And so it is about getting that balance right. Grant, you go around and you speak to a lot of, you know, different people and, you know, spreading the message and helping different people. I mean, busy fellow. How do you keep up with all this sort of stuff and ideas and thinking and stuff? I mean, do you have any, because being a business owner in your, you know, in your own right, I mean, time is a precious commodity.
Yeah, you're right. I suppose I have the advantage that I love what I do.
Okay.
So often it doesn't feel like work, even though I suppose some people would say it is, which I know I'm very privileged to be in that position to love what I do. But essentially, I'm a voracious reader. Mm-hmm. I try and keep up. You know, I do enjoy reading. So I read a lot of the new books that are coming out, and, you know, colleagues and their ideas and what they're saying. Because I'm a speaker, I'm privileged to speak at a lot of conferences and events where I get to hear other very good people speaking as well and listen to their ideas. And often these, because of the nature of the events, these are people at the cutting edge of their industry. So I get to hear some very good people all the time, just as part of my job, which I suppose in a way makes it a bit easier.
Fantastic.
And I do a lot on the web as well. You know, I do a lot of experimenting and a lot of finding out, you know, when I hear about a new website or a new launch or a new concept or a new idea, I'll go and I'll play with it a little bit and see what it is and see what it does. And then it's my own experiences as well, because I'm still, although I'm a speaker and a writer and I do spend a lot of my time doing that, I do spend at least 30% of my time, perhaps a little bit more, at the sharp end, getting my hands dirty, working with clients of my own.
Sure.
And that's important as well, obviously, because it's a ground for testing ideas, for seeing what's working, what isn't working, to give me the relevance and the case studies to say, okay, this we did with this with a client and it worked, and this is why it worked and how it worked. So it's a number of different things. I think it's between, you know, going to the conferences and events, which I'm at anyway, I appreciate doing all the reading, practicing what I preach, as it were,
mm-hmm.
and also forcing myself, challenging myself. You know, I do try and build into, probably not a week, but a month, if I can say that, And I do travel a lot, so I spend quite a lot of time on aeroplanes and in cars and things where I perhaps use as thinking time,
right,
just to try and challenge myself. You know, well, what if we did this a different way? What would it look like? And sometimes, you know, you turn things upside down or move things back to front or whatever, and it looks awful. But sometimes you just stumble across something and think, actually, that's quite clever. That's interesting. So, sure, you know, so I kind of force myself, if you like, challenge myself. And I think talking to audiences a lot is also great, because I think I get a lot of my inspiration from the Q&As.
Right.
At conferences, you know, people will ask me a question, and I'll try and give a convincing answer at the time, obviously. But sometimes I walk away and think, actually, that's a really good question. I need to think about that more.
Yes.
And it forces me, and it's the best kind of challenge, because it's not just a challenge. Not only does it challenge my thinking sometimes, and I appreciate that, but it also, I'm being challenged by someone who's also at the sharp end.
Sure.
So you're only ever challenged with relevant things, if you know what I mean, because
yes,
it's a self-fulfilling kind of audience, you know, they're filtering it themselves. So in all those ways, but I do appreciate, I think for everybody today, just keeping up, keeping abreast with everything that's happening, because the pace of change is just so quick for everybody. It is a perennial challenge. It's really, it's not easy.
Is there anybody out there that you, who is a writer or a thinker or a blogger or whatever they might be, that you really like and you keep coming back to again and again and again?
Oh, gosh, there's so many. There's a really good, you're going to have to forgive me, because...
pick one. Go
on. My mind's gone blank as to the people behind it. But there is a blog or a newsletter that comes out. I think it's daily it comes out. I certainly seem to have a lot of them in my inbox, called Search Engine Land.
Right.
And that is, I think it's put together by Danny someone. I've forgotten his surname for a moment. But I'm sure if you Google Search Engine Land, it would come up.
Yeah.
And that's like a newsletter with kind of the latest things that are happening in search engine optimization online, some business news. And you can click. I mean, you couldn't read the whole thing every day. Well, I suppose you could, take a long time. But you can you know, flick down the headlines and click on a relevant article or whatever. And I do spend an amount of time in a month reading some of those. I find some of the articles and some of the contributors really, really good. So I would definitely recommend that as a source of good information.
Thank you for that. Is there anything else that you'd like to shamelessly plug before we wrap up?
Well, if I'm allowed the shameless plug thing, I suppose it's only because it's fresh on the brain. The new book is obviously Sticky. It's called Sticky Marketing.
And
the
subtitle is
Why
Available on Amazon?
Changed. Yeah, that's available in all good bookshops, as they would jokingly say, and on Amazon, of course, as well. So,
okay.
Yeah. And the subtitle is Why Everything in Marketing Has Changed and What to Do About It. It's a really relevant, practical book, I think, for people. So I'm happy to shamelessly plug that if I'm allowed.
Brilliant.
And the other thing I'd shamelessly plug, only because it's hot off the press, not quite the right statement, as you'll see, but we just launched our brand new web portal yesterday, literally, which is stickymarketing.com. And we're about to launch Sticky Marketing TV on that next month. And there'll be lots of videos and resources for people to go and kind of keep up to date with all kind of aspects of sales and marketing. So love people to check that out. And please do give us feedback, email us back with feedback and ideas that people would like to see out there. Because it's to go back to my earlier part of the podcast today, it's not really my site, it's their site. So if people tell me what they're looking for, we'll get contributors and people to put that up there.
That's brilliant. Grant, what I'll do is when we put this up on the site, I'll make sure we have all the right sort of links and things into your LinkedIn, Twitter feed, the link to the book on Amazon, and also to Sticky Marketing and all that sort of stuff. So you all get linked up.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thanks,
I just want to say thank you for talking to me today and sharing some insights into the book. I'm sure it's going to be great. I'll look forward to getting stuck into some of the more of your material on stickymarketing.com. And just thank you again for your time and
thanks
your
for having
input
me. It's been fun. Thank you.
All right. Well, that's it for the podcast today. Check out the links below, and I'll leave a comment, let me know what you think. Oh, by the way, Grant, you're always welcome to come, you know, hop on the blog and, you know, share a comment or two with some of our readers. And
thank you very much.
Talk at some time about maybe you want to write a piece for us as well.
Take it, I'll do that. Thank you very much.
All right, fantastic. Well, thank you, everybody, and that's it for today.